Imagine Microsoft building, you know, one of the most powerful, popular pieces of software in the tech world, like an absolute game changer for an entire industry.
Oh, yeah.
And then they completely refuse to certify anyone who uses it.
It is wild.
It's exactly what's happening right now in the world of web automation. So today we are taking a deep dive into Playwright,
which is huge right now.
Huge. If you're in software development or quality assurance, you already know the buzz, right?
Mm-hmm.
Playwright has essentially taken over as, well, the fundamentally important automation testing technology for modern web applications.
It really has rewritten the rules. I mean, it was built from the ground up for the modern web.
Right.
So it's incredibly fast, it's exceptionally reliable, and it handles the complex asynchronous nature of today's apps in a way that older tools just, well, they just weren't designed for it.
Yeah, and whenever a tool becomes this ubiquitous, this fast, it triggers this sort of inevitable gold rush, right? The gold rush of certification.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone wants a piece of paper.
Exactly. People want the proof that they know how to use it. So to figure out how you navigate this whole situation, we are pulling from a massive, comprehensive 2026 guide compiled by a group called Playwright Masters.
It's a really thorough source.
It really is. And our mission today is to kind of cut through all the noise of tech credentials. We're going to figure out exactly how you prove your Playwright skills to an employer, you know, what underlying architecture you actually need to understand.
Which is a lot, actually.
Right. And how to avoid the expensive mistakes people make when they're trying to break into this field.
And that's critical because the testing landscape has shifted so dramatically lately. The days of just learning a few basic commands and like printing a certificate, those are completely over.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because we have to start with the biggest bombshell from our source material.
Yeah, let's do it.
Despite Playwright being developed, backed, and heavily promoted by Microsoft, there is currently no dedicated official Microsoft or Playwright professional certification exam.
None at all. Zero.
Which is crazy.
It usually shocks people entering the space, you know? Because if you look at something like Microsoft Azure.
Oh, sure.
There's an entire highly regulated ecosystem of tiered exams.
Right.
You can study, sit for a proctored test, and become a Microsoft certified Azure Solutions architect.
Right. And the whole industry knows exactly what that badge means.
Exactly. They know the salary it commands, everything.
But you go looking for that official stamp of approval for Playwright.
Yeah.
And the desk is just empty.
Completely empty.
So what happens? Nature abhors a vacuum,
yeah.
Right? Because there is no official certification, this entire ecosystem of third-party credentials has sprung up to fill the void.
Yeah, alongside a really heavy emphasis on practical portfolio building, which we'll get into.
Right. But we have to look closely at what is actually filling that gap right now, because it ranges from basic intro material to fairly intensive third-party exams.
Let's start with what Microsoft actually does provide, because they haven't abandoned learners entirely.
Fair point. Yeah, there is an official Microsoft Learn module. It's titled Build Your First End-to-End Test with Playwright.
Right.
It's completely free, takes about an hour to complete, and it's broken down into 8 units. Right. And it actually features a knowledge assessment at the end.
And honestly, it is a phenomenal starting point. You are getting the fundamental concepts straight from the team that maintains the tool.
Yeah, that's true.
You learn how to install it, write a basic test, run it, all the basics.
I mean, an hour-long online module is essentially a driver's ed lecture.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good way to put it.
It's necessary.
Yeah.
Like, you learn what a stop sign looks like, you learn where the brake pedal is, but an official professional certification is the actual driver's license.
Right.
It proves you can merge onto a busy highway in the rain without causing a 10-car pileup.
That is a crucial distinction. Passing a learning module assessment mostly just proves you stayed awake during the lecture.
Exactly. So beyond the lecture, our source highlights the third-party options that are trying to act as that driver's license.
Right, like vSkills.
Yeah, vSkills offers a Playwright certification based on a 50-question, 60-minute online exam. You need a 50% to pass, and it comes with lifetime validity.
And there's EdChart, too.
Right, EdChart grants a digital Credly badge that designates you as a certified Playwright testing subject matter expert.
And those exams, you know, they aren't trivial. They cover a really wide spectrum of the technology.
Like what?
Well, everything from basic end-to-end testing and browser automation to much more advanced concepts like API testing and visual regressions.
Okay, wait, hold on. I have to challenge this premise.
Okay, good, go for it.
If Microsoft absolutely refuses to put their official brand on a certification, aren't these third-party badges essentially monopoly money?
Yeah.
Like, what is a hiring manager actually supposed to do with an EdChart or vSkills badge?
This raises an important question, and it requires you to understand how modern tech recruiting actually works.
Okay.
We have to separate a course completion certificate from an assessed credential.
Right. Course completion being like Udemy or something.
Exactly. A course completion certificate just proves you clicked play on a video and let it run to the end. I mean, you could have been cooking dinner in the other room.
Right. A completely passive experience.
Precisely. But an assessed third-party credential like vSkills means someone, even a third party, actually tested your retention of the material.
So they aren't monopoly money then?
No. If you are transitioning into tech, or you're fresh out of a computer science program, a third-party certification is a highly effective way to get past the automated keyword filters on a resume scanner.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. It signals to a recruiter that you have baseline theoretical knowledge and, honestly, the initiative to study.
So it gets you the interview. But it sounds like the guide is warning that the piece of paper won't actually help you pass the interview.
Exactly. They can never replace practical experience. An engineering manager doesn't care if you can pass a multiple choice test.
Right. They want to know if you can actually do the work.
Yeah. They want to know if you can architect a reliable testing suite.
Which means we need to talk about the technology deeply. You have to know the mechanics under the hood to survive a technical interview.
Definitely.
And you really can't talk about web automation without addressing the elephant in the room, which is Selenium.
Ah, Selenium, yeah. The absolute granddaddy of browser automation.
Seriously.
It has been the industry standard for well over a decade.
Right. So if you're listening to this deep dive and you've spent the last, I don't know, 3 years mastering Selenium.
Yeah.
You know the ins and outs of WebDriver. You know how to write explicit weights.
Yeah.
Does this guide suggest you just throw all that hard-earned knowledge in the trash to learn Playwright?
Oh, not at all. Your core testing fundamentals, you know, understanding what constitutes a robust test case, knowing how to isolate variables, managing the defect lifecycle.
All the theory stuff?
Exactly. All of that transfers perfectly. But you do have to completely rewire your understanding of the architecture.
How so?
Well, Selenium relies on a WebDriver architecture. It communicates with the browser through a middleman, translating your code into browser commands.
Ah, and Playwright drops the middleman.
Entirely. Playwright manages the browser binaries directly. It has a WebSocket connection right into the browser's core.
Oh, wow. And because it has that direct, you know, intimate connection with the browser, it enables what the source calls its most famous and important feature.
Yes, built-in auto-waiting.
Built-in auto-waiting.
Mm.
To fully grasp why this is such a big deal, you have to remember the pain of writing older automation scripts.
It was painful.
In Selenium, you were constantly writing prescriptive code to force the test to pause.
Right.
You'd write commands saying, like, wait 5 seconds for the page to load, or wait until this specific button becomes clickable.
Yeah, it cluttered the code base and made tests incredibly fragile.
It's the primary cause of flaky tests, right?
Oh, a flaky test is the bane of any QA department's existence. I mean, it passes perfectly on your local machine, but when it runs in a remote cloud environment,
it just randomly fails.
Exactly. Just because the server took an extra half second to render an animation. But Playwright fundamentally changes that dynamic.
Right, because instead of the test dictating a rigid timeline, the test is actually listening to the browser's state. It's reactive.
Exactly. Before Playwright attempts to click a button, it automatically runs through an internal checklist under the hood.
What's on the checklist?
Well, it asks, is this element actually attached to the document object model? Is it currently visible? Is it stable, meaning it has stopped animating or moving across the screen?
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. And finally, is it capable of receiving events?
And the crazy part is you don't have to write a single line of code to trigger that checklist.
None.
It just waits until the exact millisecond the element is ready, and then it acts. It makes the test suite incredibly resilient to, you know, varying network speeds.
It completely changes the way you write code. You stop worrying about timing and start focusing purely on the business logic of the test.
And that structural shift also applies to how Playwright actually finds those elements on the page in the first place.
Yeah.
The guide heavily emphasizes Playwright's philosophy on locators.
Right. Locators are simply how you tell the automation script which element to interact with.
Like, go find the search bar.
Yeah, or go click the submit button. Historically, engineers relied on CSS selectors or XPath chains.
And those are essentially highly specific, like mathematical addresses pointing to the HTML structure of the page, right?
Exactly. But the problem with pointing to the underlying HTML structure is that developers change it constantly.
Constantly.
A developer decides to wrap a data table in a new container div just for styling purposes, and suddenly your XPath chain breaks.
And 50 tests fail overnight.
Yep. Because the test was looking at the skeleton of the page, not the actual application, Playwright pushes a completely different philosophy based on user-facing locators.
Okay, like what?
It prioritizes commands like get by role, get by text, or get by label.
So instead of telling the script, you know, find the third input field inside the second div of the header.
Right.
You are just saying find the button that literally says login.
Because that is exactly how a human user interacts with the application. A user doesn't know or care about the DOM structure.
No, of course not.
They're scanning the screen for text and accessible roles. By aligning your automation with human behavior, your tests become vastly more resilient to underlying structural changes.
That makes total sense. If a developer moves the login button to a different part of the header, the test still passes because it's just looking for the word login.
Exactly.
That shift from structural testing to behavioral testing is huge. Now, another feature the source highlights as a major architectural advantage is browser contexts.
Oh, browser contexts are where Playwright leaves older tools completely in the dust.
Let's run a scenario here. Say you are building an automated test for a real-time chat application, or maybe a collaborative document editor.
Okay.
You need to prove that when user A types a message, user B receives it instantly.
Right. In the old paradigm, testing that interaction required you to launch two entirely separate heavy browser instances.
Which sounds slow.
Very slow. It consumed massive amounts of memory, CPU, and it took a significant amount of time just to boot up the environments. But Playwright solves this elegantly.
SO.
You launch one single browser process, but within that process, you create multiple browser contexts.
Ah, because they're essentially isolated, lightweight browser profiles operating in memory.
Right. Context A has its own dedicated cookies, its own local storage, and its own session data.
Okay.
Context B is completely walled off from Context A. They share zero data. So in a fraction of a second, you can log into Context A as the sender, log into Context B as the receiver, and run your real-time interaction test without bogging down your machine.
Wow. And building on that efficiency, the guide points out cross-browser projects. You write that complex chat application test once, and Playwright can run it simultaneously across Chromium, Firefox, and WebKit to ensure it works on every major browser engine.
Yeah, and you can even configure those contexts to emulate specific mobile devices, you know, testing viewport sizes and touch interactions effortlessly.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. When people hear web automation, they almost exclusively think of UI testing.
Right. Launching browsers, clicking buttons.
Exactly. Filling out forms visually. But the source explicitly highlights that Playwright natively supports API testing as well.
This is a massive strategic advantage. UI testing, by its very nature, is slow. Rendering graphical interfaces takes time.
Sure.
But let's say you have a suite of, 500 tests checking different aspects of an e-commerce checkout flow.
Okay.
In a traditional setup, every single one of those 500 tests has to navigate to the login page, type in a username, type in a password, click submit, wait for the dashboard to load.
And then finally navigate to the checkout.
Yeah.
Which means you are testing the login functionality 500 times when you really only care about the payment processing.
Exactly. You are wasting hours of compute time. With Playwright, you can send a lightning-fast API request directly to the back-end authentication server.
Oh, wow.
The server instantly returns an authentication token. You take that token, inject it straight into the browser context we just talked about, and suddenly the browser is fully authenticated.
So you completely bypass the graphical login flow.
Completely.
You skip the rendering, the typing, the waiting. You are instantly dropped onto the checkout page, ready to test the actual payment logic.
Yeah.
Across a massive test suite. That cuts execution time from hours down to minutes.
It allows you to use the UI only when you are explicitly testing the UI. Everything else can be handled via fast, headless API calls.
Okay, so understanding these concepts, auto-weighting, behavioral locators, context, API injection, that is the actual knowledge you need.
Yes.
But how do you package that to hand to a recruiter? This brings us to the show, Don't Tell Portfolio Strategy.
Right.
Because the source has a very pointed warning for beginners. Mistake number 5 on their list is building only one login test.
The single solitary login test script. It is the classic beginner trap.
Yeah.
It shows you know how to write 10 lines of code, but it is not a portfolio.
The guide argues that to truly prove your worth, you have to build a public GitHub repository showcasing an entire scalable automation framework.
Yes. You aren't just writing scripts. You are architecting a system.
And the absolute backbone of that architecture is the page object model, or POM.
You cannot get an advanced automation job today without deeply understanding the page object model.
Let me try a real-world analogy to map this out.
Go for it.
Writing an automation suite without POM is like walking into a restaurant, marching right past the wait staff, pushing into the kitchen, and giving the chef a massive list of micro-instructions.
Right.
Like take a quarter pound of beef, put it on a 400-degree grill, toast a sesame bun for 30 seconds, add 2 leaves of romaine lettuce, and hand it to me. You, the customer, are forced to manage exactly how the food is cooked.
Which is incredibly inefficient if you want to order food every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But utilizing the page object model is like interacting with a standard menu. Your test scenario sits at the table and simply orders, I want the burger.
Right. That is the high-level business action.
The test doesn't need to know the complex low-level locator code or the step-by-step instructions. All of that messy kitchen logic is hidden away in a completely separate file called a page object.
And the beauty of this separation is maintenance.
How so?
Well, if the developers completely redesign the login page, maybe they change all the element IDs and the layout, you don't have to go update the 50 different test files that require a login.
No, that's nice.
You go into the kitchen, the one page object file, and update the locators there. The test scenarios at the table never change. They just keep ordering the burger.
It makes the code base readable, maintainable, and highly scalable. And the guide notes that a strong GitHub portfolio doesn't stop there. You also need to demonstrate the use of fixtures.
Fixtures are essentially reusable environments or test setups.
Okay.
Instead of cluttering your test files with repetitive code to launch a browser, set a viewport, and navigate to a staging environment before every single test, you define that state as a fixture.
So any test that needs that specific setup simply requests the fixture.
Exactly. It enforces the principle of keeping your code DRY. Don't repeat yourself.
But no matter how clean your code is, tests will inevitably fail, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You have to prove you know how to handle it when things break. The guide specifically highlights incorporating Playwright's Trace Viewer into your framework.
If you are building a portfolio, generating HTML reports with the Trace Viewer enabled is mandatory.
Really?
Yeah. We talked earlier about those flaky intermittent failures that only happen on remote cloud servers. Debugging those used to involve guessing and reading cryptic console logs, but the Trace Viewer acts like a DVR for your test execution.
It records a complete timeline of action.
It records everything. Mm-hmm. Every network request, every console output, and crucially, it takes full snapshots of the DOM before, during, and after every single action.
Wow.
If a test fails in the cloud on a Tuesday at 2 a.m., you can download the trace, open it locally, and literally scrub back and forth through time to see exactly what the browser was rendering at the exact millisecond of failure.
It really is a superpower for debugging.
It is.
And to seal the deal on this portfolio, you take this beautifully architected framework, complete with POM, API mocking, and trace viewers, and you hook it up to a CI/CD pipeline, continuous integration and continuous deployment.
Using tools like GitHub Actions or Jenkins.
Right, proving that your tests run automatically every time a developer pushes new code to the repository.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this entire portfolio strategy is about proving you can operate as an SDET.
A software development engineer and test.
Exactly. A manual QA tester executes predefined steps. An SDET builds an autonomous software system whose entire purpose is to relentlessly validate another software system.
That makes total sense.
That is the skill employers are desperate for, and a GitHub repository demonstrating that architecture is worth infinitely more than a multiple choice certificate.
Which brings us to the reality check. Because now that you know exactly what you need to build, the most pressing question is, how long is this realistically going to take to learn?
The guide is very practical about timelines, actually breaking the learning journey into distinct phases.
Right, for the beginner phase, they estimate 2 to 4 weeks. This is the foundational period.
Yeah.
You're learning the basics of JavaScript or TypeScript, installing the tool, writing your first locators, and executing basic assertions.
And then you graduate to the intermediate phase, which takes another 4 to 8 weeks.
Oh, right.
That intermediate phase is the critical transition point. You stop writing isolated scripts and start building the framework.
That's where you implement the page object model.
Exactly. You learn how to handle test data externally and start playing with browser context and cross-browser execution.
And finally, there's the advanced phase, requiring 8 to 12 plus weeks of study. This is mastering CI/CD integration, parallel execution, sharding.
Which is splitting a massive test suite across multiple separate machines to run them simultaneously.
Right, and advanced network mocking.
Yeah.
But wait, let's look at this from the perspective of an established QA professional.
Okay.
What if you already hold your ISTQB certification? You know, the International Software Testing Qualifications Board?
Yeah, that is a globally recognized, rigorous QA credential.
Exactly. Does having that deep testing knowledge mean you can bypass the beginner coding phases and jump straight to building frameworks?
It's a logical assumption, but the reality is no.
Oh, really?
Yeah. ISTQB is incredibly valuable, but it is fundamentally theoretical.
Okay, T.
It teaches you concepts like boundary value analysis, meaning if a text field accepts a maximum of 100 characters, you specifically test an input of 99 on 100 and 101 characters to see how the system handles the edges.
Right. It teaches you what scenarios need to be tested and how to prioritize risk.
But it doesn't teach you how to write the JavaScript to execute those edge cases automatically.
Right, of course.
Playwright is a highly technical, code-heavy tool. Your ISTQB theory dictates the strategy, but you still have to put in the weeks of coding practice to build the vehicle that executes that strategy.
So they are complementary skills. One doesn't fast-track the technical learning curve of the other. And the source leaves us with a stark warning about the most common pitfall people face when trying to skip that learning curve, which is buying a certificate dump.
It happens constantly. People buy a PDF containing the answers to a third-party certification exam. They memorize the multiple-choice responses, pass the test, get the badge, and get their resume past the HR filter.
But then they hit the technical interview with the engineering team.
And the facade crumbles immediately.
Yeah.
An engineering manager isn't going to ask you to define what a locator is. They are going to pull up a piece of code on a screen share and say, hey, this test passed yesterday, but today it failed with a timeout error on line 42. Walk me through exactly how you would use the trace viewer to debug this.
Oh, wow.
Or they'll ask, why did you implement a fixture here instead of just using a standard before each hook?
And if you just memorized answers, you won't have the architectural context to explain the why behind the code.
You will freeze. You have to be able to verbally defend your structural decisions. And the only way to build that vocabulary is by spending hours actually writing and refactoring the code yourself.
So what does this all mean? If we synthesize everything from the Playwright Masters 2026 guide, the path forward is very clear.
It really is.
Do not chase the illusion of an official Playwright certificate from Microsoft, because it doesn't exist. Third-party credentials like vSkills or EdChart can be useful tools to bypass automated resume filters, especially if you are transitioning into the industry.
Right. But the certificate is just the appetizer.
The main course absolutely must be your practical, demonstrable skills. Use the free Microsoft Learn modules and the official documentation to master JavaScript or TypeScript. Internalize Playwright's core advantages, the built-in auto-weighting, the behavior locators, the lightweight browser contexts. And above all, use those tools to build a comprehensive public GitHub portfolio. Show hiring managers a living framework utilizing the page object model, API mocking, and CI/CD pipelines. Prove that you are an architect, not just a script writer.
Show, don't just tell.
Exactly. But before we wrap up today, looking at the advanced sections of this guide, there is a broader philosophical shift happening here that we need to acknowledge.
There really is, and it's something I want you to heavily consider as you plot your career trajectory. The guide makes it abundantly clear that an advanced Playwright engineer today is dealing with CI/CD pipelines, complex network mocking, Docker containers, and highly abstracted framework architecture.
Right.
In other words, you have to possess the exact same skill set as a software developer. So if modern tools like Playwright are absorbing all the traditional complexities of testing, handling the timing, managing the weights, finding the elements automatically, does the role of the traditional isolated QA tester eventually cease to exist?
That is a fascinating and honestly slightly intimidating question.
Are we rapidly moving toward a future where there is no separate QA department at all, but rather just teams of full-stack developers, some of whom simply specialize in building automated validation frameworks as their primary product?
It completely blurs the line between software testing and software engineering. If you are entering the field today, you need to be very intentional about which side of that blurring line you are preparing for. Incredible stuff. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. As you prepare to navigate the tech job market, make sure you are carrying the right currency. Don't just collect pieces of paper. Build the repositories, write the code, and understand the architecture. keep learning, keep building, and we'll catch you next time.